and future mornings. In the month of June and July, we're going to cover a sermon series, our summer sermon series, that we're calling Summer in a National Park. I have to share with you up front, I feel a little weird about this sermon series, which really is saying something, because we've done some weird sermon series in the summer in the past, haven't we? Like last year, it was Reading Rainbow. We've had summers where we've been singing to Taylor Swift songs and getting scripture lessons from those Taylor Swift songs. We've had lessons on baseball. We've had lessons on famous artwork. We've had lessons on animals and taking trips to the zoo. And maybe most famous of all in weirdness in mind was this one.
Start spreading the news beginning today. A new sermon series, Broadway, Broadway.
We have done some weird stuff in the summertime, including in that Bible in Broadway series. And so for me to feel weird about a summer sermon series is weird in itself. But I think the reason why I feel so weird is because it's somewhat personal. It's our family trip that we were able to take this time last year in the month of July, what our family calls our trip of a lifetime. We had been planning this since Julie and I went out west for our honeymoon. When we were married 15 plus years ago, we went to Yellowstone National Park, Grand Teton National Park, the Badlands, Mount Rushmore, and we said at the wake of that honeymoon trip that if we were ever able to have kids, we wanted to take them back out to see some of those sights and sounds. And in addition to that, some sights and sounds that we'd never seen. Like trees that are just so big you feel like a tiny ant next to it. Crystal aqua blue waters that are just running off alpine mountains into this pool of turquoise blue. Like we wanted to see some. We've heard about those things. We wanted to see some of those things, and we wanted to expose some of our kids to those things. And so we had literally been plotting and planning that for over a decade. Talking about it and just wondering the timing of all of that. And last year was that year. Our oldest son is going to be entering high school next school year. And so we thought if we didn't do it before the high school rhythm started, we would never do it. And so last year was that last summer together with that rhythm in mind. And so we took him the month of July, grateful for the church, able us to take all of those 4 weeks of vacation at one time, and so we took all of the month of July off. And many of you said in the wake of that trip too, you'd love to see more pictures or videos or hear the stories of what came out of that. Well, I'm here to tell you, when you ride 10,000 miles in a month, that's how long it was. We don't do 10,000 miles in our van in a year, let alone in a month. We did 10,000 miles. We did nearly 100 hours of driving. And in the midst of that time, you got a lot of time to think. And in some of those thinking, had an idea for what if we did a sermon series over some of these wonders of creation and how they point us to the Creator? What if we did a sermon series? But felt like maybe that's a little too weird. Sharing family pictures and family stories in that kind of a preaching arrangement. That felt weird to even a preacher in mind. But bounced the idea off my colleague, bounced the idea off of a couple other church leaders, said, is this too weird or is this right in that kind of a way? And they all encouraged me to go along with this route. And I thought this was a way to share your stories. Some of you that have been out west have shared those stories. Some of you made that possible for our family to go out west in those ways. And so this summer, we're going to the national parks together, and some of those 13 plus national parks that we visited, we're going to see little pictures and little scenes that I hope, hear me up front, that I hope you don't get lost in the pictures or the videos of. I hope those are illustrations of a deeper story and vista that we're invited into. And I'm speaking of our life with God. These are illustrations of something grander that I think the scriptures help picture best for us. And so I hope that these pictures send us even more deeply into the stories and the lessons of what God's revealed through his word together. So hear me up front with that intent in mind. And if we can do that, we're ready to hike together to the national parks. So this summer, this first stop, the world's very first national park, Yellowstone National Park, and specifically Old Faithful Geyser. Here's Jeremiah introducing us to it.
Cool! Old Faithful!
That's actually not Jeremiah. That is Dennis the Menace. You millennial shout-outs, 1993 family movie that I was raised on was Dennis the Menace. And that was my first exposure to Old Faithful. That's Dennis taking Mr. Wilson's nasal spray and spraying it all over the mirror. And then the next scene that I didn't show you, pouring mouthwash into that nasal spray so that when Mr. Wilson... He went into the sink and beyond with the burning and sensation there. Old Faithful. As a little kid seeing that made me wonder, what is Old Faithful? Have her never been out there and hearing more. This is Jeremiah showing our exposure to Old Faithful this last
week. We are waiting for you guys at Yellowstone National Park. Looking like it's about to start.
Wow, I actually like this.
Here we are by Tortoise Shell Geyser, spring, and Jeremiah is just waiting all day for it, and it finally went. Woo! Yes!
Was our trip to Old Faithful and specifically Yellowstone National Park this past summer. How many of you have ever been out west to Yellowstone National Park before? I don't know what some of you were anticipating prior to going out there. We knew a little bit something more from going on the honeymoon than what the kids were anticipating, but I thought some things of Old Faithful that maybe it was the only one or maybe it was the highest one or something of that. None of that was true. There's some other reason that we go out to Old Faithful that I want to share with you in just a moment there. But before I do so, those of you that, I should have thrown this disclaimer up front, if you're looking for professional videography, this is not going to be it. Watch Dennis the Menace instead in that way. But these are family videos with that in mind. And through those videos, before all of this, I had my kids watch a PBS documentary Ken Burns put out about the national parks prior to this in the summertime, before going out. Just because I wanted to have some sort of appreciation for those that were older of going out that direction. And I learned some things through that documentary myself. Did you know that Yellowstone National Park is actually sitting on a live, active volcano? We reminded our kids of that. It's never gone off fully in our lifetime and isn't predicted or planned to, but we reminded our kids that on certain trails there that we are mortal creatures and you always got to be ready for that moment. As a matter of fact, there was a different geyser basin that did explode a couple months prior to us going there that was still sectioned off like a boardwalk section of a walkway because of just the unpredictability of nature at times. arms. Old Faithful is neat with that in mind. Live Active Geyser that goes on underneath there. Old Faithful itself isn't the prettiest one. There's others that are blue shades and orange tinted. It's not the highest one. There's others that launch even 100 feet higher than what Old Faithful. There's different reasons that we're attracted to Old Faithful. But there's something in the gush of water that reminds me of this passage that Jesus desires to gush within us. Jesus would say in a church one day in John chapter 7, he said this, on the final climactic day of the feast, he cried out, "If anyone thirsts," is anyone thirsty for something? Like something deeper in life. Not just the hydration thirst of Gatorades or the like, but the deep thirst of our life. Like Jesus speaks to that thirst and said, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Rivers of living water, the imagery in mind, rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me in this way, just as the scriptures said. And then he uses that to prefigure the work of the Holy Spirit on the life of individuals, that day of Pentecost realities that we were talking about last week that we remember. But did you catch the steps of what Jesus says of this belief in him? Like, this is the gospel right here. If we believe in Jesus, bring our thirst, bring our desires, bring our attentions to Jesus. If we drink him in and internalize him, he does something in the inside out of us. If we drink him in, rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of our being. That's a picture of a geyser that God starts within us that flows outside of us in that way. Drinking him in and then erupting out in the outside with that in mind. Jesus' invitation to us, that geyser illustration with Old Faithful in mind. But I shared with you, if you were looking to Old Faithful for a variety of reasons, like what is it that attracts us out to Old Faithful? This is not our family picture. This is a picture taken on the internet. But you can see a walkway that kind of spans around where Old Faithful would be. Hundreds of people, those of you that raised your hand a moment ago, I'm bad with crowds and judging numbers, but I would say 500, 600, 700 people, 16 to 17 times a day that just come out in the regular intervals of Old Faithfuls that just span around it. This is an aerial view of Old Faithful, and you can kind of see in the far horizon of Old Faithful, that's that boardwalk that just spans half the length around it, just filled with people. If you've not been to Yellowstone, I think this is the most congested area of Yellowstone. The most people that traffic in and traffic out on any given day. And they'll show up. The geyser has planned and predicted eruptions because it's faithful. The scientists will put out that number, and you'll see crowds showing up 30, 40 minutes before the planned arrival. And there'll be just like this anticipation around Old Faithful. It'll start to bubble a couple times before it actually does its eruption. And in the bubbling, you'll hear crowds go, And then when Old Faithful finally does erupt, there's cheers and there's applause. Why? Well, like I shared with you before, when I went out to Yellowstone, I thought it might be the only geyser out there. It's not. There's over 10,000. Geysers or underground springs or mud pots there. Some are more beautiful. This is Grand Prismatic, an aerial view from the top there of just hues of blue and orange glows. This is Morning Glory, a smaller microcosm of Grand Prismatic, but just as beautiful, just as pristine. They're prettier to look at than Old Faithful. There are higher geysers. This is Beehive Geyser. It's about a quarter of a mile or a half a mile away from Old Faithful, and yet it shoots up nearly 50, 60 feet higher than Old Faithful. We've got a picture in a different one of Steamboat Geyser, biggest in the world. Sometimes it doesn't go off until every 50 years, but it's 100 feet higher than Old Faithful. We weren't going to wait around to see if it was gushing or not there because we would have been waiting 50 years, But there's other geysers on there. 10,000 other ones. So why does everyone know the name Old Faithful and not Steamboat or Morning Glory? Why do crowds congregate? 500, 600, 7 people minutes before the eruption, and they cheer, they applaud, they clap when Old Faithful does what it's done many, 16, 17 times every day around the clock, rain, snow, shine. Why? It's because it's faithful. The secret behind Old Faithful isn't necessarily the beauty or the colors. It's its character. It's faithfulness. 16 to 17 times a day. Rain, snow, or shine. Every between 1 to 2 hours. Around 90-minute intervals. There's some plus or minus in all of that. Old Faithful erupts around 180 feet up in the air faithfully. And there's something about faithfulness that's worth cheering and celebrating and congregating around. I want to talk to you today on graduation Sunday about faithfulness. And I want to do it on graduation Sunday because many commencement addresses don't really highlight faithfulness, do they? It's about being not old and faithful, but being young and free, right? Brock Meacham gave the class address. We mentioned that a moment ago. He did a great job in that class address. And I'm not saying that because I'm partial to Brock because of his connection to the church. He talked about the repeat refrain in his speech was the need to keep showing up. Keep showing up. You know what keep showing up is? Faithfulness. And the scriptures filled with it. Just the need to keep showing up regularly. We live in the world in 2026. Where we don't always keep showing up, do we? It's the era of the transfer portal, right? In the language of athletics. You can play for a different college team or university each and every fall, right? Just hit the portal and sign up for a new one. And there are players that do that, trying to chase the greater name and image likeness money or the funds out there. This is the summer, sports fans, where LeBron James will make a decision to wear another jersey color, correct? He's done that before. This is that free agency year. Tribe fans, Guardians, we're going to watch the Dodgers or the Mets or the Yankees play with all of the Guardian farm players, but they paid a pretty or penny to get to wear their uniform, correct? Like, this is the language of today. And yes, those are all sports references because we can make fun or make light of sports in a way that doesn't necessarily hit as close to the heart. We can realize culture without realizing some things maybe that really are wrong. Like relationally. I lead for GLOW the school season, the 4th and 5th grade GLOW students. You know, many weeks during snack time, what the headline news is of 4th and 5th grade elementary students is who's dating who. And you know how long that lasts in 4th and 5th grade, right? 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 minutes? And we learn some habits that follow us in life then, don't we? Are divorce statistics that much different than middle school statistics in some ways? And I'm not saying this is out the realm in that kind of way. Jesus makes mention of right reasons and wrong reasons for divorce as well. But this is a reality, correct? Is this the day and era where you're 30 years with a company and you get a watch at retirement? Or 15 or 16 different companies? Like, I'm not making light of this. There's reasons to do that. But I'm just trying to deal seriously with where we're at as a culture. Is this the day and age where your word is your bond? Or does your word, can it be reversed if you just have the right lawyer or pay the right penny? You catching with me? I'm just trying to make light of the transfer portal and how this permeates all of our society. We think faithfulness is out of fashion. And yet being old and faithful is one of the greatest epitaphs that God can speak over our lives. Not flawless, but faithful, church. Can I talk about faithfulness today? Because this God of the Bible is all about faithfulness. He's not old and faithful. He's eternally faithful, and that's longer than old, right? The God of the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that's a good thing. And guess whose image you're made in? You were made to reflect Him. So faithfulness needs to be a part of our DNA. King David himself would say in Psalm chapter 12, "Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore." I'm sure he's bemoaning the transfer portal of his day and age, right? "Help, Lord, no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race." And yet he's penning this in a psalm, praying for God's faithfulness to flow into his life. This is what the scriptures say about you and me. You know how different verses like stick out to you in different seasons of your life? This is one that's just like a life verse for this season, for whatever reason. Proverbs 3. Hear what God's word says here. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. What's to never leave us? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Did you catch where the successful life is found? In the sight of God and man? It doesn't have to do with the college you go to, or the military branch that you select, or the career that you choose. Those are good things, right paths. But did you catch what earns a good name? It has nothing to do with what paper says about you. It's love and faithfulness. And we're to wear this, right? Bind it around your neck. Like, put it out there for all to see. Let love and faithfulness be seen. And write it on your heart. It's to be internalized and externalized, this love and faithfulness of God. That's where a good name is found. That's the pleasure of God and man that God says in Proverbs chapter 3. Yet again in Proverbs, a faithful person will be richly blessed. Where's the rich life found? A faithful person. And some of you heard, where's the rich life found? And you think, 401k, bank account, get the right job. There's a way to be richly blessed that has nothing to do with what's in your bank account or what's not in your bank account. That's a very skim surface area of blessing that we race to in the American culture. Richly blessed relationally, richly blessed spiritually, richly blessed with memories and meaningful moments and stuff like that. Like, richly blessed, where is it found? A faithful person will be richly blessed. But one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. The fruit of the Spirit. These are things that are to make up the lives of Christ followers. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no law. Like, we're to be faithful, church. One of the greatest things that could be said of your life is that so-and-so was old and faithful. Not flawless, but old and faithful through that. And why is that? Because God is faithful. I'm not going to go through these references. They're all in your message outline. But time and time again, the biblical authors are pointing that God is faithful, and that's how we learn faithfulness. It's an example that he flows into our life as we're leaning into his direction. Moses discovered it. You remember what we said a couple weeks back in the closure of the Jonah series? Jonah was quoting something about God, a statement about God, about how he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Jonah was quoting that. Where did he get it from? The golden calf incident, where Israel failed God. Remember what they did? They took this hunk of metal, gold. Did you know God created all metals, including that hunk of gold? Yet they were bowing down to this little hunk of gold. They started worshiping the stuff rather than the maker of the stuff. How stupid is that, huh? The one that made all the metals? No, we're just going to bow down to this hunk of metal that we fashioned. They're missing out, right? They're selling themselves short. They're not being flawless right here. And yet in Exodus 34, how does God reveal himself? Gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God doesn't scrap them even though they turn their back on him. 40 years later, Moses is going to look back on the journey in the wilderness, including that flawed nature of bowing to the golden calf, and he's going to say of God, God is God, he is the faithful God. He kept his covenant even when they broke his covenant. He's looking back on life and seeing God's faithfulness through all of life. Psalm 33, a song that they would sing in the temple, said, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Like, faithfulness is God's metric about how he acts out. He's faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Great is your love. Reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Can you do that at some point this summer? Can you just go outside and look up to the sky And can you be reminded of Psalm 57, that his faithfulness reaches all the way up to the skies? Like, how many miles, how many eons, what is that? And yet, God's faithfulness is higher than that. The infinite one knows no boundaries, and even when the sky is the boundary to us, his faithfulness reaches to the skies. How beautiful is that? That God is that rich in faithfulness and can flow that into our lives. Like I said, I'm not going through all these references for you, but they are in your message outline. You just need to know that God is faithful. And part of what it means to be God's person is to walk in faithfulness. Not walk flawlessly, but to walk in faithfulness. Enoch was described in that way. Noah was described in that way. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob described in that way. Moses, David. Like, this is a good epitaph, church. To be old and faithful, to walk faithfully with our God. In the year 2026, that's not easy to do. The flow of culture is not in faithfulness, and yet the flow of God is faithfulness to equip God's people to grow in faithfulness. You hear this, church? This is the direction, not the headlines around us. And so what would it look like to live faithfully, church? Can I just suggest three things? And kiddos, if you're paying attention in your message outline, here's where some of the answers lie. Faithfulness means, one, being consistent, being reliable, being dependable. Can I borrow from Brock Meacham's words in his commencement address again? It's keep showing up. That's the language of consistency, of reliability. Keep showing up is a life of faithfulness. So how do we bring consistency into our life? You know, Old Faithful erupts 16 to 17 times each and every day. That's why we call it Old Faithful. Every 1 to 2 hours, whether it's raining outside, whether it's snowing outside, whether it's sunny outside, Old Faithful is gushing 180 feet upwards. It's reliable. It's consistent. The scientists can predict it within a plus or minus 5-minute margin of when the next eruption is going to be because it's reliable. Consistent. It keeps showing up. So we named it Old Faithful. Are you? Are you reliable, consistent, showing up? Graduates, can I give you some instruction that is, yes, the pastoral push in all this? I think one of these next steps in life, when you create your next rhythms in life, you get to set your schedule in a way that you didn't get to prior to in this life. I would encourage you to keep showing up to church. And maybe that's not this church. Some of you are spanned really far away in where you're attending university or going into the military route. But there's churches scattered everywhere. Find a good Bible-believing one and keep showing up every single Sunday. You're going to need to study that book in the midst of all the other books of life because that book has been timeless in its truth through every generation, not just 2026 generation. So find a good Bible-believing church and be there on Sunday morning. Consistently show up and see the ways that God doesn't show up through that process as you're learning that holy habit of rhythm and worship. Our moods. Can't our moods just spike, come and go? Can't life feel like a roller coaster between situation to situation? Are we consistent in those situations of life, the ebbs and flows? Or do people walk around us in eggshells like, I don't know how Justin's going to show up today. Is he going to laugh or is he going to lash out? Be consistent. It's going to be helpful for the work environments and the family environments and all those other environments God's placed us into, right? If we can be consistent, reliable in those spheres that God gives us. Are we consistent in our workplace? Or do we look for every excuse to skip work? We got so many sick days. I'm not sick, but I'm still going to utilize one of these. This is a part of that faithfulness process, huh? There's a whole million and one application points in this. But faithful people are consistent people. They're reliable. You know what to count on. Not flawless, but living and growing into faithfulness is something that God's people do. Point number two, faithfulness means forgiveness at times. You know the waters underneath Old Faithful that make it erupt? They can reach temperatures of over 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Ouch! You ain't swimming in that pool, right? Did you know when it erupts, it loses a lot of that heat and stuff, but the waters are still like over 200 degrees Fahrenheit? That's why that boardwalk is like so far away from Old Faithful. It's good when it cools off from the mist if the wind's blowing in that direction, but you don't want it to be right above that geyser in 200. That will melt your skin. That will burn off any germ and microbe that you've got on your hands right there, right? There was, in that PBS documentary I cited a moment ago, one of the fur traders writing about this wonder out west to people living out east. He would say there'd be some streams that you could catch a fish in, and you just flop it over in the line and cook that fish in. That's what Yellowstone was there. It gives you an image, right, of just the hot embers of what's underneath all that. It will burn some stuff away, including your skin, if you allow it. You know, to be faithful, you're going to have to burn some things away that people will do to you in life. I'm talking about the hurts and the hang-ups, those things that leave a mark on the skin. How do you forgive them? Because God tells us to pray in that way. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. To be faithful, to be consistent, you're going to have to forgive some things to move forward with some things, correct? Like, you don't have that in the transfer portal. Someone makes you mad, grass is greener here. Someone makes you, grass is greener. And some of us do that in relationships, right? They hurt me, I'm going here. They hurt me, I'm going there. We just jump around like a yo-yo because we don't want to deal with forgiveness. Oh, God, grow us to be a forgiving people. Never forgetting the forgiveness that you've forgiven us of, and so how we can forgive that to others. To be faithful means you're going to have to be forgiving. Make sense, church? Lastly, to be faithful means to work and to wait. And to keep the C theme going, it's callousing. Working and waiting is the callousing of life, but it's faithfulness over the long haul. You know, Jesus tells a parable along that direction. Before I get to that parable, I'll play this family video one more time, okay? This is what you need to know about this. This is not the first take at this. Watch it for a moment. So Jeremiah said, Old Faithful, looking like it's about to start. He did that 10 times. I told you there's a plus or minus five minute in the prediction of Old Faithful, and at times it will bubble up. You think it's going to start. Jeremiah would cue video. Here we are at Yellowstone National Park. Old Faithful geyser looking like it's about to start. Nothing's happening. Click, redo, next bubble. Here we are at Old Faithful National Park. Old Faithful geyser looking like it's about to start. Nothing's happening. He did that like 10 times. So it's become a little family joke amongst us. Here we are at Old Faithful. No, but working through the waiting. Working through the waiting to get that final video that we could all see with that in mind. Working through the waiting. Did you know Jesus told a parable with that in mind? It's Matthew chapter 25. He's telling the parable of these talents. And talents in Jesus' day and age, it's a weight of money, but it could be a variety of things, like what God's given us. Time, talent, treasures, like all these things are things that stream from above into our life. And Jesus tells us this parable, someone got five, someone got two, someone got one. And we're hung up on the amounts, right? Why'd he get five and me only two? What's up with that? Like, the punchline is never anything to do with the amounts. Like, Jesus actually says the same thing to the guy with two as he says to the guy with five. So it was never about the amount. What God's placed in your hands, you don't have to compare with the next guy. You just have to be faithful with what you've been given. You hear that? That's part of the point of the parable. So the guy with five has five, works with five, gains five more. Now he's got 10, and he brings it to the master. And the master says of him, it's interesting, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. I love that epitaph. I hope to hear it from God someday of my life. I think you probably do as well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Love those words. Stamp those on my cemetery site there. Love that. Well done, good and faithful servant. The guy with two talents did the same thing. Went to work. was trying to be faithful with what God gave him. He earned two more. And God says that same exact thing to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. You know what that third individual did? The third one that was given one? Do you remember what he did in the parable? He took his one and he sat on it. He dug, he hid it, did nothing with it. He sat on it. You know what the master comes and says to him? He doesn't say good and faithful. He says wicked and lazy. What are you doing with what God has given you? It's not a bank account question. Could include that though. Well, it's a time question. Definitely includes that. It's a relationship question. Definitely includes that. It's a church question. It's a heart question. It's a spiritual fervor for God question, right? It's all these things. What God has placed in your hands, what are you doing? Are you faithful? Are you sitting on it? That's the question of the parable. There's a difference in expression. Well done, good and faithful, or wicked and lazy servant. What do we want to hear in that day that we're meeting before our Maker? May it be well done, good and faithful. That takes work. That takes consistency, that takes faithfulness flowing from above into our life, because we are not naturally faithful. We are naturally flawed. But when the faithful one flows in your life, you start rippling in that faithful direction. Remember what Jesus said? He who believes in me, rivers of living water will brim and pull forth. Drink down Jesus, and he gushes something out of a life that's for him. And faithful to him. This is how we become old faithful in all the right directions, church. Amen? I want to share a closing song with you that I've shared with you before. It's the song Dream Small by Josh Wilson. As a matter of fact, Josh Wilson, Willard has a Hope Fest each and every August. In 2023, I got to hear him play this song live for the first time in my life. I was first introduced to this song, though, by my mother-in-law, Elaine Finley. She heard it on the radio one day that she was coming to do some babysitting at her house, and she just said, "You need to look up and listen to this song." And I did. I tried to do what my mother-in-law tells me to do, right? So I listened to the song and liked the song. Actually used this song as a part of Christmas Eve a number of years back, but I never shared the fullness of the story of why I like this song. With many of you. Some of you have heard it, but many of you have not. The reason why I like this song is, truthfully, it pertains to some things 3, 4, 5 years ago in my life. We were going through some things as a church family that ties into faithfulness. We were going through, at that time, church disaffiliation. Denominationally, our denomination was changing some things, and we had to decide as a church of what to do as a church, and myself personally as a pastor, what I could do and could not do in connection to that as well. It was around that time that my mother-in-law suggested for me this song, not knowing those circumstances. Can I give you a further layer to this? Been here now 14, 15 years, 13, 14, somewhere around there. Time flies, right? Handful occasions, people have sought me out for other employment. Doesn't happen usually in the Methodist system, but sometimes, and some of them are more serious than others, one of those times was in the midst of those times, disaffiliation times. And truthfully, it was bigger church, bigger community, in that kind of a way, sought me out. The leaders of the church had a sit-down meeting, asked me to put my name in to enter into the interview process. And I was struggling personally. The denomination was doing some things I couldn't jive with. And I was wondering how that shakedown would impact you all, would impact me, would impact my family and all those different things. And yet this song and other passages, step back, can I throw a disclaimer? I think there really are reasons to shuffle the deck sometimes. Don't hear me wrong if you've not been 30 years and gotten the watch in your realm of employment. I think the call is to be faithful to God. And sometimes faithfulness looks like stay put. Sometimes faithfulness looks like that God's leading you to a new land. Like Abraham, right? That being faithful to God was leaving Ur and going to the promised land. So faithfulness looks different in different circumstances. For me, in this circumstance, in that situation, it was simply running to greener pastures. not wanting to deal with denominational stuff, huh? Going those different routes. And yet I felt the unpeace in my soul of, you're to be here and be there now. Don't put your hat in the ring. Don't take the easy road out. Like, dream small, not dream big, as the chorus line of this song is, with that in mind. And so it impacted that, a call to faithfulness with that in mind. And so I just share the song with multi-layers of meaning in mind, but I do it on graduation Sunday. Because the commencement address, not here but elsewhere, says dream big, right? The world's before you. What if the world's found in small but significant ways? What if it's the little stones that make big giants fall, huh? What if it's being faithful in the rivers God's planted you in, knowing that the rivers lead to oceans in that infinite realm? Dream small is the chorus line of the song, and so I share that with that intent in mind. Just sit, just soak, just think about what faithfulness looks like for you and what God's calling you to do in this moment, in this season of life. Dream Small by Josh Wilson.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. Special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things. No, 'cause these simple moments change the world. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've got to do it all. Let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. So dream small. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening, keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching. Add up the small things and watch them grow bigger. The God who does all things makes oceans from rivers. So dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Yeah, find loaves and two fish can feed them all. So dream small.
Lord, we pray for faithfulness. Might not make headlines in the year 2026, and yet you know hearts, you know circumstances, you know situations, you know all. Just praying that, Lord, that your people would be faithful people. Whatever faithfulness looks like in the situation, the season of life that you've got them in, help them to be faithful with what you placed in their hands. to not sit and not to hide it, but Lord, to serve you through it. Just pray to be faithful so that one day that we're sitting and standing and staring at the Maker's face and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. There's more happiness to share, and it's your happiness. Lord, you've been faithful to us. Thank you for that. Help us to be faithful in our footsteps of following you. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name. His people said, amen. Going to stand and sing and respond through song about God's faithfulness. Faithfulness always flows from above, right? Great is thy faithfulness. So stand as you're able. Let's sing of his faithfulness in conclusion.